welcome to the Happier Amp podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, we have some interesting things to get to culturally on the program, some interesting things to talk about. But before we do, Pipe, I want to talk about the biggest cultural event probably in the entire fall, anywhere in the world. And it's not the eclipse. It's live in Louisville, okay? I want you to tell the good people of the world, listeners to this show, how they can get involved in Live in Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, when we say it's the biggest event in the fall, I think it's important for people to realize it may not be the biggest numerically. Like, there will probably be more people at some college football games,
like maybe
or possibly
Super Bowl.
Or like a Manchester United game for those of you who care about the other football
program.
Yeah. For those of you who know somebody who might care about that, since none of you do. But this is the biggest in terms of significance, cultural significance. This is for influencers, for the early adopters, the cutting edge people. So October 22nd in Louisville, Kentucky, that's a Sunday. It'll be in the evening from 8 to 10 p.m., although that 10 p.m. is loose depending on how much fun we're having. Could go later. Right. You can go to happyrantpodcast.com. The details are there. The link to get tickets are there. It's $10. That helps us cover cost, pay for recording equipment and refreshments and such things so that we can make it a great time. So again, that's October 22nd, Louisville, Kentucky. We have multiple dozens of you already having purchased tickets, and that's wonderful. We have room for more, so go ahead and sign up for that. We would love to see you there.
Pipe, that's great, and I want to use that to dovetail into another kind of cultural item that it conveys status, can't be purchased. But
that's the thing we care a lot about on this show, status. Status is important to us.
Dude, we care a ton about status because we're celebrities and we're businessmen. And let's face it, boys, this is not show friends, it's show business, okay? And we don't do this for just simply our own enjoyment. We do it to grow our platforms. And part of that, guys, is the whole issue of the blue check on Twitter. Now, I'm not on Twitter. In full disclosure, I use my movie's Twitter account basically to subscribe to like Canadian football and NFL Twitter accounts. So that's how I'm using Twitter. But I do know that when you reach a certain level of celebrity and influence, you get a blue check next to your name. And recently, I'm not going to name names. You guys can if you want. It depends on like personal conviction on this issue for you. But there's a gentleman, he's a gentleman that we've referred to on this program before, who posted on Twitter how upset and out of sorts he was after multiple attempts to get the blue check, not having the blue check. Pipe, you have a blue check next to your name. And I want you to talk about A, how you got that, and B, how validating it's been and how it's changed your life.
Absolutely. Let me answer the second part of that question first, because to the gentleman, assuming that he listens, because this is the world's largest podcast, it is the most validating thing in the world to see the little blue check next to your name. Every morning I wake up and I open Twitter and I open my own profile to look at it and just see the blue check to be reminded that I matter, that I'm significant, and doggone it, people like me, to quote Stuart Smalley. So it's profound. It is uplifting. It's deep, and it makes all of my tweets like 18% better. So if a tweet was sort of funny before, like it's pretty funny now. If it was pretty funny, we're moving into professional comedian territory. Same thing goes for wisdom. If it was somewhat insightful, it's moved into making people nod and go So the blue check really matters. And so to that gentleman who doesn't have it. I'm so sorry you lack that fulfillment in your life. Your mornings must suck. That's really tough.
Pipe,
in terms of the
The other part of the question.
So in terms of the process to get it, it used to be this mysterious thing that Twitter handed out that they you never could tell who got and who didn't. It mattered aside from personal fulfillment. It mattered because there were fake accounts, you know. So like every time there's an NBA rumor, for example, in the basketball world, there are fake fake reporter accounts for like Mark Stein or Adrian Wojnarowski or whoever that that put out fake rumors and people fall for them. So you have to look for the blue check to see who's the real guy. Mm-hmm. Then Twitter opened up an application process for it. And I was guided to that process by a friend who oversees social media for a for the company that I work for. And he said, hey, you should consider doing this. So I went and filled out the application. And like 3 days later, they said, you are indeed the real Barnabas Piper. There aren't any other Barnabas Pipers out there. And so we're going to give you the blue check. And I gained all that validation.
Mm. Pipe, what was the application itself like? Were there pointed questions that would lead them to believe that you either are or aren't Barnabas Piper? I mean, were they like, did you get a shepherd's pouch at Christmas instead of presents? I mean, was it that specific, or what are we looking at?
I mean, they sent two guys in dark suits and sunglasses to my home, and they shined a bright light in my face and grilled me for about 3.5 or 4 hours. I was sweating. I was exhausted. And just they dug into my past. They wanted to know. I mean, the typical stuff: social security number, birth certificate, like the one with the actual stamp, no photocopies, driver's license. You know, is that your current address? All this stuff. But yeah, then it got into like, you know, got into like your best friend in fourth grade and where did he live and, you know, first date you ever went on and what was your most embarrassing moment and did you in fact drop that touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone when you were wide open and all of these different things. And so like they turned me inside out. And in the end, I could in fact prove that I am who I say I am. But I didn't know that when they left. So it was just 2 or 3 days of just waiting in agony and trying to piece my life back together. And then I got the blue check and all was well.
Big R, how far would you say you are away from getting a blue check yourself? I'm guessing, you know, you're maybe not as ambitious about the blue check as this gentleman who we're not going to name, but I'm guessing you'd like to see a blue check in your future. What is that looking like for you, baby?
You know, full disclosure here, baby, and I appreciate that question. I appreciate the concern behind it, Big T. I do. You know, I wasn't really, I mean, I don't know what kind of category this is going to put me in. I know what kind of category it's going to put me in with my kid because I'm already in that category. But I wasn't even aware of this mythical, you know, blue check before I saw said post on Twitter. Again, a certain individual that we name check, you know, fairly often on the program was, you know, bemoaning the fact that he hadn't gotten his blue check yet. And I was kind of looking at that and I was reading it and I got the wife and the kid like over there and I'm like, I'm getting like super offended right now reading this particular post about the lack of a blue check by a guy who thinks he should have a blue check on Twitter. I go, can you guys update me on like the blue check thing? And after they like mercilessly like laughed at me because I didn't know what a blue check was, they kind of filled me in. And I think I'm probably like super far away from it. Like, baby, I don't even think I'm in the vicinity of blue checkiness yet. You know what I mean? I think I'm way far away from it.
All those hours that you spend checking Pipe's Twitter account each day, you didn't wonder why he had a blue check next to his name and you didn't.
I guess when I'm clicking on Pipe's profile for the, you know, 16th or 17th time, you know, during the day, I guess that check just escaped me. I mean, most of the time I'm looking to see if he's updated his profile pic so I can see what he's wearing or like, you know, those types of things. But like, I just the check just escaped me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, right. Is he clean? Like, how's he looking today? What's he doing with his hair?
I want to see him.
Man, we have a different outfit on, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, like, right. That's the stuff I'm looking at, Big T.
I know, right? Baby. I know it.
I mean, you know.
Well, see, Ronnie, here's the thing. You're going to have a really hard time getting the blue check because to get it, you have to, I mean, A, you have to go through the rigorous process I just described, but you have to, like, deep down inside, you have to really want that validation. And you're such a content person. Like, you're just sort of chill. You go through life, like, you don't need more than you have. You're good. You love your family. You love your home. You love your church. You love to travel worldwide and be a famous speaker and, you know, be a D-list celebrity who speaks at all these conferences. And you don't need the blue check. Whereas I think what they sensed in me was this deep unresolved angst that really needed the blue check to
you know, we can help
just to make it. And so So I think you won't get it, but you also don't need it. Like, you're good. You're good, man.
Wow, that's really nice, Pipe. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless after that.
Pipe, vis-a-vis this guy, this gentleman who we're not going to name, who really wants the blue check, don't you feel like part of the joy of the blue check is acting like you don't need the blue check? But now that he said it out loud, like now that he's basically said, I really, really want this, and he tried to do it in a tongue-in-cheek way, but I think it was clear to the three of us how much it means to him to get it. Don't you think that takes the shine off of him actually getting it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true of, you know, once you venture into the stratosphere of blue checks and other such status symbols, like you can't wear it boldly, and you can't exhibit your desire for it too much. Like that's a little gauche. Like you can't really go for it like that. I think so. Even if he gets it, it's kind of like, well, yeah, you begged for it. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can have that desire, but you have to play it cool. You have to just behind the scenes, you can be scrambling to make it happen. But publicly, you have to just kind of play it off and be like, you know, it'll happen when it happens. If it never happens, I'll be fine. But yeah,
you gotta be
but
like, that, oh, but I didn't even notice it for like 3 weeks. And then
that's how it's supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be something unstated. I think what we're talking about right now is be careful what you ask for, right? I mean, because that blue check's going to pop up one of these days and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, this is like the disappointment of the year. Of all the things I could have wished for, of all the things I could have wanted, I asked for this, I got it, and now nothing's changed, right? Exactly. I just think it's like he's setting himself up for, you know, what we call the big letdown, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we call it?
I kind of fear for him for that, because the big letdown is, it's a big letdown.
The big letdown is big. That's why it's called the big letdown, right? I'm begging you to move on, Big T.
Yeah. What's not going to be a letdown at all is Live in Louisville. And what's never a letdown is a hot cup of Lagares Roasters Happy Rant Signature Blend coffee.
Let that be your big blue check, ladies and gentlemen. Lagares Roasters.
In lieu of a big blue check, if you're not a celebrity of a certain kind, you can calm your anxieties and fears with a hot cup of Lagares Roasters coffee. It's a beautiful thing to sip and ponder the meaning of the blue check. So if you haven't done so already, happyrantpodcast.com. Click on coffee, get yourself a cup of Lagares Roasters Happy Rant Signature Blend. And boys, I want to move away from the blue check, but I'm going to stay kind of in this space of conflict. I understand on Twitter there's a little bit of beef between the two of you, boys. And I want to use this space to just work that out, because as we move forward as a company, I'm not going to go to Live in Louisville with the two of you like being at odds with one another. Okay. Here's what happened. And Pipe, you can fill in the cracks for me, since I didn't actually see this on Twitter. I just heard about it, like third hand. Pipe, you said something about how horrible it is when pastors do that thing in church where they say, everybody take a minute and turn to the person around you and just, you know, say hello or whatever, which I agree sucks and is a horrible thing. And Big R, you pushed back a little bit and said, something to the effect of, it's not a marriage proposal. Just grow up and say hello. Now I want to hear from both of you, A, how you're feeling about one another, and B, how you're feeling about this issue, just with a little bit of time in between now to talk about it. So, Big R, I'm going to let you take this one first.
All right, baby. I appreciate that. So let me just start, because for the interest of, you know, business relations, let me just apologize to Pipe. I was being a little snark with him on the reply to that tweet. So here's the deal. So the greeting thing, I agree. So here's where I'm going to come at it with it. The greeting thing is horrible, but let me tell you why it's horrible. It's horrible because pastors don't set it up well, and they have a culture in their church where everybody sort of like dumbly turns around, like sticks out their limp hand, shakes, turns around, and then sits down, and everybody and all the introverts in the room are just like literally like flummoxed for like the next 35 minutes while the dude tries to preach. Now, at our church, man, we try not to make it like that, right? Because Big R doesn't like to roll out that way. So when we do a greeting, dude, the whole place just literally erupts erupts into a time. It usually lasts between 5 and 10 minutes. Everybody's just hanging out. We're just chatting. I mean, I got to literally round everybody up. I got to try to get everybody seated so that I can even start my sermon. I mean, dude, this is just like, it's like a repeat of what's happening before the service. Everybody's just kicking it like old school style. They're hanging out. They're chatting. They're not just shaking hands and being awkward. They're literally just relaxing. They're getting into like legit conversations. And then at some point, I get everybody back in. I don't know how I do it every week. I got to yell at them like 8 or 9 different times. And then I get to like, you know, start the sermon and then we finish up and then we go into another time of like, of that kind of fellowship. So, I mean, I get it. If you're going to do it, you can do it awkwardly and horribly. But I just think there's a better way to do it. And so I'm with Pipe in the sense that he's probably out of place 99% of all places that just do it really awkwardly. So the question is, when are we going to stop doing it awkwardly and literally lead people in it being a time of what it's actually supposed to be, which is hangout? That's it. That's what I got.
What I hear you saying is you're the only pastor in the world who doesn't lead it awkwardly. Is that
I'm going to say this, Big T. I'm going to say something super bold right now, and it's going to sound slightly arrogant. So let me ask some pre-forgiveness, forgiveness right now. All right. I just coined that forgiveness. All right. So you can hashtag that one, boys. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say I'm in the only church that I've ever been in that has not had an awkward greeting time ever in the history of all the churches I've been in. Dude, I know that's bold. I know that's bold. And I know we're going to get a ton of pushback. I know we're going to get a ton of pushback at hamperatpodcast.com on all these things I'm saying right now. But I'm telling you, there's a better way. I should probably write a TGC post on it. Maybe I will. Maybe I will after I write the why do we say God thing post that I'm working on right now. But that's where it's at. I mean, it's a bold statement, but that's where I stand with it.
I mean, I understand it's hard to crank out multiple 8,000 word posts in a week. So yeah, take the time you need to knock them.
Well, with God thing, I've only gotten up to 7 points and I know they need 9. So I'm still working on it. So
it's tough, man. You keep cranking.
You do it time. I'm thinking maybe Joe Carter can co-write it with me and we can wrap it up, but go on.
All right. Well, let me offer a reprisal. First of all, if your church is the only church you've ever been to that does this well, I would ask for an extension of grace to those of us who attend every other evangelical church in the world.
I thought I just did, Pipe. I said, I'm with you. I get it. It's hard. Yeah. It's rough.
I mean, like ongoing grace. So like if this is an ongoing struggle for some of us, continue to be gracious. I appreciate it. I accept your apology. We are good. No ongoing tensions. Live in Louisville is good to go. It's not at risk because of some beef that we have.
Of course, man. It's all the introverts in the room, man, that still bothers them. They still struggle with it. I get it, dude.
I'm an extrovert. Like, I like talking to people. I'm a cranky extrovert, but I'm an extrovert. I like people. So let me offer some context on where this tweet came from. I was visiting a church recently. It was my first time there. I've really enjoyed the entire experience other than that portion of the service. So I'm sitting there. They get to this point in the service. Literally, I'm surrounded by people. It's not like a sparse section of seating. And there's 700-800 people in the room at the time. Literally, everybody around me turns to whoever they came with or the friend sitting next to them and begins to talk to them. I, as a first-time visitor who was ready to shake hands and talk to people because I'm not a shy, retiring person, had nobody shook my hand. And I wasn't sitting there like – I was just sort of awkwardly turning in circles looking at them. I was just kind of like, okay. Like, I wasn't like wilting or feeling picked on or anything. I was just like, well, this is dumb. Why do they even do this? They're going to go out to lunch with these people afterwards. Why don't they just talk to them then? And so it was an interesting experience because I was a first time visitor. However, I've also been to churches that do this every Sunday that I attended for years. And I hated it every one of those Sundays too, because now in Ronnie's church, if you give it like 10 minutes, you can actually have a real conversation in 10 minutes. But if you give people like 90 seconds or less, even if you meet somebody for the first time, you have 90 seconds in which to like learn their name and be like, how long have you been going here? This is my first time. Great. Good to have you. Time to sit down and move on with the thing. Like the whole thing is just stilted.
Yeah. Unacceptable.
Yeah, it's terrible. So, and then I got some responses from my Anglican friends. I have a handful of those because I'm very ecumenical.
Dude, that number is growing, man. The Anglican thing is so hot around here.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. So apparently the Anglicans
are so hot, right?
They are. Yeah.
They do this thing called passing the peace.
That's what we do too, Pipe. Carry on.
Okay, so that name, first of all, it sounds like pass the peas. Second of all, that adds a whole other layer, because instead of being like, hey, what's up? It's like now we have to have a sanctified blessing. So it's like, I don't know. It's like a benediction or a blessing along with the like, hey, how long have you been going here? What's your name? What do you do for a job conversation? So I feel like that actually adds a layer of confusion, although the Anglicans insist it adds a layer of meaningfulness that I must have overlooked. So there's my little spiel on it. It's the worst part of a service. I wish it just would go away.
So it goes for 10 minutes at your church.
Dude, it is so out of control at our church. I mean, dude, you got people laughing. You got people walking all up and down the aisles, chatting. I mean, dude, if you walked in right there, you'd be like, oh, wait, so the service hasn't started yet. That's how you'd feel. Totally.
Dude, I would go and pee for that 10 minutes. I guarantee it.
Well, we only have one bathroom, so you'd be standing in line.
Well, that's perfect, because you can't possibly pee for 10 minutes.
Dude, I lock up the bathroom during that time. I don't let anybody in. So I go back and I say, sorry, boys, click, and I lock it. And then I swallow the key.
It's your minimalist bathroom. It used to be like a meatpacking plant.
Right. So it has like this old school like lock that you like sort of grab, and it's made out of all that, you know, dark
black steel.
It's got
like a gigantic metal door. Yeah, right. Exactly,
yeah.
You've got to be like a weightlifter to get into it.
Yeah. I have my handler go and like latch it for me during the peacetime. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad you have a handler. Famous pastors need bodyguards.
Oh, absolutely. I got like two handlers on each side. I got one on each row just in case the trouble brews and erupts on one side or the other. You guys should know that about me by now. Do you think I'm not going to have my handlers with me at Live in Louisville? If you don't think that's happening, you've lost your mind. You haven't thought of this clearly enough. Because I'm going to have my handlers.
They better buy a ticket, because I'm not feeding them for free.
Whatever, man. They come with me. You know, that's like saying, you don't let me in, you don't let my handlers in. That's like not letting me in. You know what I mean? They're going to be sitting up on stage with us. I'm telling you right now, both my handlers. You guys know what it's like. I'm not going to be able to perform the show without my handlers.
I have the blue check, but I don't have that level of fame, apparently. You have like underground celebrity status that I haven't achieved yet.
You have your blue check. I mean, I'm worried about Ted right now. Ted, what are you going to do? I mean, what's your posture going to be at Live in Louisville? I mean, you don't have a blue check. I'm not sure if you're going to bring your handler or not. Like, what are you going to do?
Baby, I'm a self-contained unit. I don't need a blue check or a handler to validate.
Oh boy, my existence. Pride goeth before the fall.
I know.
All right. Well, I'll tell my handlers just to watch out for you, because I know things could get a little creaky. And if things get a little creaky for you, I want you to be safe, because I care about you. I care about the guy behind the guy behind the guy, Big T. I don't just care about you. I care about what's going on inside of you. All right.
I appreciate that.
Because one of my handlers, he's an emotional handler too. He's not just caring about me physically. He's caring about me emotionally. So I'm going to talk about
handlers all day, all the live long day. I've been trying to ask Pipe a question for like 10 minutes now. Judas H. Priest.
Please ask. I'm tired of the question.
Ask him already. You're talking to me about that, and you could have asked him already.
Piper, I was just going to ask you, is the Anglican thing getting huge in Nashville as well? Are you seeing a lot of people people getting sick of like, I'm not a Southern Baptist anymore. I'm going to Anglican, because I feel like that's kind of getting to be a big thing here.
Anglican,
right? Which is probably a real quick way to ruin the Anglican Church, bringing all the ex-Baptists in there. But it's a growing thing, and so like, I don't know if the official Anglican Church is growing, but I know that like liturgical churches that sort of echo of high churches they're definitely growing and more popular. And I get it. Like, I think there's a great appeal to it. I just, I don't know if the official Anglican church is, because Nashville's a little bit like Nashville, Dallas, there's these cities that are like Bible Belt staples. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to shake the Baptistness of a place like this.
Sure. Sure. Well, boys, we got time for one more little topic here. And, Pipe, this is one that Big R and I hadn't honestly heard of before you brought it up, but you kind of move about in the leadership development world in your role as a true business person. And apparently, Pipe, there's this phrase in which people talk about leading themselves. And I want you to explain that to the listeners. What does that mean?
I wish I could. I think it mainly means doing things and okay. making good decisions. But the context for it was, so I, for a couple of years, I co-hosted another podcast called the Five Leadership Questions Podcast through Lifeway. And about half those episodes are interviews with Christian leaders, not necessarily all Christian leaders, mostly Christian leaders. And so church leaders, business leaders, et cetera. And we would ask them for advice or they to share advice with the listeners. And a huge number of them, or at least it seemed huge to me, would talk about leading themselves and how important that is. And every time I heard it, I just wanted to look at them and be like, you are too smart to say something that makes that little sense. Now, you can't lead yourself. Like that does not make sense. You can do things, but like you, leading implies followers. You can't both lead and follow. So just, it was a nonsensical thing. So it seems to me that it is sort of the leadership version of self-care, which we talked about last week. That was kind of the impression I got. It's sort of it's the buzz phrase that applies to leadership. So organizational leadership and church leadership and so forth. So Ronnie, if I asked you like, what are you doing to lead yourself? How would you respond?
Dude, yeah, I don't even know where to go. I would be like, yeah, I wake up in the morning and I eat my cereal and I pray and then I like do what I do. That I like, you're saying like, do you just breathe and walk and like make decisions and open your eyes and like see things and like your heart beats? I mean, how else do you lead yourself? It just sounds illogical.
I mean, I struggle to know. Ted, does anything jump to mind when you hear that? Like, what do you do to lead yourself? So you're heading into a new semester today as we record is your first day of classes. You clearly need to be leading yourself well. What are you doing?
I'll tell you what jumps to mind for me, Pipe. It's the fact that the kinds of people who talk about leading themselves probably don't have anybody else to lead. You know what I mean?
Oh, snap.
They're probably the kinds of people who are never going to lead. They're never going to actually lead anyone else, you know? It's the kind of people who talk about, I don't know, having a sense of humor. You know what I mean? And it's like, if you got one, you don't have to talk about it, you know?
I mean, is the big idea behind it just, Pipe, like, I mean, you have to be the one that charts your own course, makes wise decisions before you can sort of, you know, sort of bring anybody along in that kind of, you know, in that kind of living. I mean, I think that's what it means.
I think in context, kind of like it's self-care has this sort of self-indulgent side, but it also has a side of like creating margin, being healthy, et cetera. So I think leading yourself is you have to be in a good space character-wise, soul-wise, life pattern-wise before you can effectively lead other people. But to call it leading yourself is a really sort of asinine way to phrase it. I don't know. That just – it amused me every time I heard it because I'm just like, I tried to picture it in my mind and I picture like somebody on a leash holding their own leash, like leading themselves. And it's just sort of a goofy way to phrase it.
Is it just one of those things that like sounds important that like, it almost like gives you something to lead with and talk to without really like it working itself out in like day to day in real life? Is it one of those types of things that like
yeah,
people can
like
say
most catchphrases?
And it sounds self-important? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like most catchphrases and a lot of leadership sort of like catchphrases that are just sort of thrown out there. They end up on a poster and you look at them and you're like, that's either exceptionally obvious or exceptionally asinine. I feel like those are sort of the two leadership catchphrase bookends, is like obvious or asinine. And then somewhere in the middle, there's a sweet spot, but very few people find it, like Peter Drucker and Oswald Sanders and Jesus. And that's about it.
Pipe, do you think you can teach people how to lead? I mean, or do you think leaders are just like, I feel like there are certain people who everywhere they go, they're a leader. And there are a lot of people who talk about leadership who it's like, you can lead your way out of a paper bag. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you teach people to do this? It's almost like teaching people to be tall, you know, like certain people have it, certain people don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think you can teach people some of the skills that are essential to leadership, and that'll help them, you know, so communication and organization and different things. But yeah, I think there are people who are just sort of, they gravitate to a place of leadership. Now, if they haven't developed the skills and the character, then they're going to fall flat too. I mean, you see it all the time in the church where people who gravitate towards the front because they're dynamic communicators and they're charismatic, but they lack the stability that comes from skills and character, and they fall on their face. But I think people can develop character and develop skills and still not be a natural leader. Like they might be a capable leader in a context, but not sort of the natural, like, oh, that's somebody I'm going to follow. I think that's sort of a God-given thing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Boys, one last thing. What did you each do for the eclipse? Did you watch the eclipse?
I spent all day coming up with Jesus jukes about eclipsing sin and things like that. Because why not? That's what Twitter's for. And since I have the blue check, I have to use Twitter to the max.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I forgot you're a blue check guy. That's right.
Mm. Oh, you forgot, did you? Yeah. Though it's a good thing I reminded you. Can't be forgetting such
important
thing.
Glad you reminded me of that. There's probably somebody else you need to remind of that too that will remain nameless.
That's right. Well, if he is listening, yeah, he will know.
If this guy ever gets the blue check, do you think he's going to just casually slip it into every conversation for a couple of weeks? Like, oh, that reminds me of when I got my blue check on Twitter. You know what I mean?
He'll just call himself his name and then just tag on verified at the end.
Do verify.
Hi, I'm so-and-so verified.
Yeah. I love verified.
Yeah, at so-and-so verified.
I love it. Nice. Big R, did you watch the clips?
I was driving into I'm here at my satellite studio at Chincoteague Island in Virginia, and so I was driving in right as it was kind of getting ready to happen. But I was driving past NASA. There's like a NASA base here on Chincoteague Island, and dude, it was like there was this one area where there was just like NASA. Thousands of people with like it looked kind of like an old school, like when you see those pictures from the 60s when they did like the rocket launches and you had everybody out with their telescopes. It literally looked like that because there was all these like rocket ships and all this stuff set up around this visitor center. And you had all these people kind of like hanging around this, just doing this whole thing. And it was kind of fascinating actually. But I literally have zero interest about things of this nature. I just don't care. Yeah. It's not fascinating. It bores me. It's something that lasts 2 minutes. It escapes me. It escapes any level of interest that I have. So that's where I was at with it.
Same.
What about you?
I went to my kid's school. So Maxim really wanted me to come and see the eclipse with him. So I did it.
All right.
Really just to hang with him. But I think he and I were both a little bit kind of underwhelmed by the whole thing, you know? I mean, you put the glasses on, it lasts for like 2 minutes. It's kind of like no big thing. And then you're like, oh yeah, I'm outside and it's 93 degrees and I wish I was somewhere else. You know, that kind of thing.
But, I mean, I think what might be interesting for us, you just gave me an idea, Big T, like, why don't we try to manufacture Happy Rant eclipse glasses like after the fact? Let's see what kind of sales we might get on something like that at Live in Louisville.
That seems like the kind of thing we're trying to
do. Post-eclipse glasses, right?
Post-eclipse glasses, right.
We'll call them pegs, PEGs, man. Post-eclipse glasses. Like, man, have you gotten your peg yet from the rant? Like, that's what I think we should do. I like that.
Talk to our
guy.
We
can constantly just tell people that supplies are limited so that there's constantly that urgency.
Absolutely, man. Post-eclipse glasses. I think that's fun. I think it's brilliant. I think it's a way to increase our brand.
Baby, and I think manufacturing costs stay low because they're cardboard. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're basically a cheaper version of the 3D glasses you get at a movie theater.
Guys, I just want to, just for our fans, I mean, if this is something that interests you, I mean, hashtag post eclipse glasses, and we'll see what we can do. Maybe we'll have these. I mean, if you wear these at the rant, at Live in Louisville, I wonder if somehow we can make it to where if you're wearing them, it looks different. Like the performance is extra special. You know, maybe we can kind of like fix it up like that, right?
I like it. I like it.
I thought, I mean, to move away from the glasses real quick, I was super impressed that, like, Desiring God and maybe the Gospel Coalition, but definitely Desiring God got a, like, an eclipsing of the sin post up on that day. Like, I mean, it was, they had it like lined up in advance. And I mean, that's A plus juking right there.
Did DG do it for real?
I'm pretty sure it was Desiring God. I might be wrong. I don't want to. A Desiring God employee shared an article about eclipsing sin or eclipsing the eclipse of the sun, you know, S-O-N or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was just like slow clap from where I stand because that's well played.
That's epic. That's what about any of the end of the world? Did anybody do any end of the world, the apocalypse, the rapture? Did we get any of those articles coming out?
I just mostly saw jokes about that.
Yeah, reform guys are just too jokes, good. For-
yeah. Yeah. Too good for the end. Dude, we are too good for the end of the world. Absolutely. I love that, man.
We're too busy being reformed.
We're too good for the end of the world.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. That's one of the most brilliant things you've ever said, Big T. Reform guys are too big for the end of the world, man. Yeah. I love it.
Baby, on that note, we should land the plane on this beautiful baby episode, man.
Oh, I love it.
We've done what we always do. We've wandered to and fro. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hi, friend. Are you stressed? Maybe even worried about so many needs around you that you've forgotten you are worth taking care of too? Well, I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stressless Podcast. I want to invite you to join me as I share practical tips based on science, inspired by God's Word, to help you spark joy and restore God's peace and love to your soul. Subscribe now and go to lifeaudio.com.